fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I'm here again today with my good friend Chuck Greenwood. If you had a chance to tune into the program yesterday, we began talking about an area of mutual concern that he and I both have, and that is helping brothers and sisters who are struggling with serious sin and patterns of serious sin in their life to actually get free. This is the year of mercy, and there's real grace here. And I think there's lots of people who are trapped and discouraged, and there's lots of reasons for it. So we began yesterday, Chuck was telling his own story, and I'm so thankful he's willing to do that, of having experienced falling, coming back to the faith in a very serious way, being very engaged in the life and the sacraments of the church, but then falling away again. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I really encourage you to go and hear what Chuck shared yesterday, because it really sets up what we want to talk about the rest of this week. You could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are there on the computer. You can listen to them right there or download them, put them on whatever device you're able to listen to them at your convenience. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
I'm so glad we're talking about this. The battle against sin is going to be there until we die. Now, there's no question the Lord's going to bring us to greater degrees of freedom if we, in wisdom, respond to how he leads us into the places where we're going to get the help we need, the strength and the encouragement we need to grow to greater degrees of freedom. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. That's real. But it doesn't come without a battle. It doesn't come out without real spiritual battle. And I think you began to touch on that yesterday. And I wonder if today it'd be good if you could help us understand what you see as the dynamics of what causes people to slide back into those habit patterns of sin and what that's like. What's spiritually going on there and humanly and psychologically or whatever. So
Yeah, depending upon what you're battling, and it's interesting. When I look back at it now, I have the benefit now of looking back over, and again, this is just one we discussed today, several peaks and valleys of doing this, repeating the same kinds of things, where you think now it's okay and everything's gone. Jesus wants to set us free. He doesn't want to put us in charge of a prayer group. That wasn't his goal in having somebody come to me.
Right.
He wanted me to be free because he knew that left to my own devices and the patterns of sin in my life, I would repeat this. Mm-hmm. And I just never embraced the total freedom that he was willing to offer, and I sucked up the trappings of that, and it was great. I mean, it had changed my life, but the same weaknesses were still there. What happens, it's what I, you know, it's what I call a, you slide into the moss, which is really a maze of serious sin. There's patterns. It's like a maze. And you find yourself, and it could be people, places, or things, repeating the same things over and over again. You just do the same thing. You run into the same people. You run into the same people that are willing to comfort, you know, your flesh or your desires, whatever it might be. And then you just keep on walking that pattern. Then you go back, and then you go from the shame to blame game. At first, if you commit a sin like that, you're very shamed. And just like Eve and Adam discovered, they were naked. I mean, all of a sudden, what have I done? I've done this before, but what have I done again? Then you get a fear of God, and not fear of the Lord in the good sense of it. You're afraid of God, and so you back away from God. They hid in the garden. He had to look for them.
Yeah, at that moment was not a healthy fear of God.
No, this is not a healthy. This is a fear when you back away from God because you fear him. And then what that leads is to blame. Well, if I can't go to God with this, and I'm ashamed of it, it must be somebody's fault. And then you start blaming people. And I said, you know, Eve blamed, you know, the snake, Adam blamed Eve, and the snake basically, you know, said, what's your point? This is what I do. And so it's that kind of, and that's a maze. You just keep on going around. Then what happens, you feel good for a few days, then it repeats itself again. And you find yourself, and I believe there's people just like me, you know, that find themselves absolutely trapped in this maze. And they don't know how to get out.
Yeah.
And if you don't get out of it, and if you don't get support, you will continue to repeat those patterns. And every time, you know, you try to live two lives. We had a famous president who they said could compartmentalize.
Compartmentalize
sin.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
What it does,
you think it can. You play It's a very powerful game. Right. It's easy to play, right. isn't it?
It's a mind game. And, and sin is not a game of the mind as much as it is a game of the heart.
Yeah.
And it seeps into your heart. It seeps into your soul. Yeah. And that's what happens. You don't even know it's happening.
Yeah.
But it's happening. So you're not living dual lives. You think you are. You think, I got this. I got this under control. I can do this. But eventually, it comes, you know, you break up.
And you mentioned yesterday, for those who are maybe just tuning in today, how you had, you know, a high-powered job in New York. You're living in the fast lane. And at a certain point, the Lord brought somebody into your life, a colleague who's a very devoted Christian and had an impact on you and helped. It was just a time of change. You wanted out. This person was a kind of key person the Lord put in front of you, and it began a process of returning to the Lord, returning to the church, returning to the sacraments, engagement in parish life and ministry and community, and the past was the past at that moment. But then you mentioned that you just had this idea, you had an opportunity to get a big job out in Arizona, and you just kind of went for it, and you started living in the fast lane out there again. You didn't have the same community. You weren't going to church on a regular basis. You didn't have the accountability, nobody to be accountable to. So this is a pattern, friends, of how the enemy works. He knows our vulnerabilities. Remember when Jesus, even he tested Jesus in the desert,
right?
And he didn't win, right? He tempted him three times, and Jesus pushed him back, basically. And then what did the passage say? Well, he left him planning to basically circle back at another time. And that's what he does. Like, the grace of God was on your life so strong when the Lord's mercy started coming to you in a new way, the enemy couldn't get at you. But then over time, the Lord wants us all to grow up in holiness. He wants to grow in holiness, right?
Right.
And so temptation is part. So the enemy comes back, and he starts to prick our soft points again, you know, inviting us to think again and revisit. Egypt wasn't really that bad. I mean, you know what I mean? And what went on in Egypt, and you start looking back, and then the flesh rises. That's that drive in us that says, my will be done, not God's will be done. I want that stuff again. And I think I can handle it again. All the deception starts happening. And the one move the enemy wants is he wants us to get out from under the protection of the church and of brothers and sisters and accountability. If he can get us out of that, where you say, I got the wheel, I can handle this, that is like the first sign that it's about to all go wrong again, right?
Here we go again. I mean, absolutely. And you see it happening, but there is also a part of you figures, I've got this together. I'm not going to go back there again. I would never do that again. And that's why when you do, and you do fall, it's hard. That's where I said the shame comes in. It's a wake-up call. And you think, well, that would be it. But the problem is, then you go through the cycle and you just never get out of it. If you still don't address this, you'll be back a week later saying, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I did this. And I can't believe, yeah. And so it's something that, if it's a pattern. And if you don't, and it takes miraculous help and spiritual help to break out of those kind of patterns.
And
you can't do this on your own.
Yeah, and I think another dimension of the spiritual dynamic is the enemy's there offering up all that looks good, right, to the flesh. So you say yes to it, and as soon as you say yes to it, he's right there in your face saying, you are a worthless, no good, irredeemable piece of garbage. You know what I mean?
And I've heard, I have tapes of that, you know, playing in my head.
Yeah, right? And so he becomes the accuser.
Accuser
because he's looking to lead you to discouragement, ultimately to despair, and is saying, I guess I'm the one. I am irredeemable. I'm never going to get out of this, right?
Right. Yeah, he works on you. He wants you to be Judas. He doesn't want you to be Peter. And you despair. You think there is no hope. And when you think there's no hope, then you really can take some dangerous actions. And, and of course, he took his life. And that's the point. It is so serious. And you don't think you're going to get here. When I first discovered the Lord, and I'm reading scripture, and I looked at the Israelites and say, how could those guys wander for 40 years? Look what God did for them. I've wandered, I can't tell you how many years.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you repeat the same kind of things as you're going through this, and you end up back in that same desert.
Yeah.
And that's where I was in Arizona.
And it ironically, then, even a place like the church, even if you've gone to confession and you come back to Mass and you're sitting there, and the devil can be right there saying, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, look around you. I mean, you're surrounded by a lot of good people, and you aren't one of them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, we've chatted about this. Where you stand, if you look around and say, these are really good people. I love these people. They're fabulous. But I'm not like that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know me.
Right.
You know, I think that's the part. God knows you.
Yeah.
Jesus knows you. The Holy Spirit knows you. But they don't know me. I had a priest friend that once was back in Connecticut that was trapped in a serious pattern of sin that I didn't learn from him. Because he said the biggest challenge I always had was when I would elevate the Eucharist. And in my mind, I could almost hear, if they only knew.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's that shame of if they only knew. I don't belong here. Maybe I shouldn't be here.
Right.
And I should be somewhere else. Because I'm not as good as these people.
Yeah. And so what ends up happening, because our lives are not in the light, that is, there isn't anybody there who actually knows me. And oftentimes the only person who knows anything is a priest who I confess to, and many times it's not, people decide when we're really struggling not to go face to face to a priest, so the priest doesn't even exactly know who I am. That can be an issue too. But in some way, to get free, part of the pattern of life that the Lord wants to lead us into is where we can actually open up our lives to select people who can be trusted, who are mature brothers and sisters, who we can freely open our hearts to, that we can have a brotherly accountability to as a protection, not as an accusation or to something to beat us down. And then one of the things you realize when you open your life a little bit more, you realize you're not the only person on the planet who's struggling.
Absolutely.
At that level.
It's amazing.
That our battle against sin is big and it's strong. It's a real fierce battle. And it's easy to fall asleep and get seduced into sin if we're not being vigilant. And I know we're going to talk more about that tomorrow and the next day, about practical ways about how do we get out of the hole that we're in? How do we enter into God's mercy? And what kind of life do we need to live to be able to stay in God's grace and to continue to grow in holiness?
Right. It's staying. And that's the point. There's not a quick fix. Yeah. We all want quick fixes. We want God to do something, and then that will be gone. Yeah. And it doesn't work that way. That's not how freedom comes. Freedom is a difficult challenge for a lot of us.
Yeah.
But it's there, and God will give you the grace for that.
I think one of the things we've spoken about as well is when you fall back into old patterns of sin, it can be easy then for the enemy to also tempt us to say, well, you know what? I've been to confession 100 times. I've been to mass 100 times, you know, many, many times. And nothing seems to change. This isn't real. This whole religion thing isn't real. You know, either God doesn't care about me or he's really not there. I mean, all kinds of things that can happen. People say and the parish is not a home for me because I feel so different than everybody else here.
Right.
And it's probably because nobody knows me because I haven't opened up my heart and my life in the right kind of way and entered into the life of the community. So it's another way in which right in the heart of mass and other places, as we were saying, the enemy can absolutely isolate us and feel like, I got to get out of here. And that's exactly what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. We'll get into some practical steps about how can we combat the enemy's strategy? How do we get out of the hole that we're in? And how do we walk forward into God's purpose and plan so we can live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God? Amen?
Amen.
All right. See you tomorrow.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789 or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.